In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. September. Do you remember the days when you went back to school in September? Long time ago for some of us. New satchel. Do you know what a satchel is? Anybody know what a satchel is? Yes, leather satchel on my arm here. Or new shoes. And a new class. New form, perhaps. New pens, new workbooks. I always remember receiving my new workbook maybe for the first beginning of term, writing my name on it, all rather proud and posh. Within a couple of weeks, it was a real mess. It's a harsh reading from the Gospels today, and we'll go back to it in a moment about hating brother, mother, and sister, and life itself. We'll come back to it. Harsh reading, particularly when we are starting another term. But I want to start on another note first. First of all, Paul's letters. These amazing letters that he wrote that were to transform Christian history and our history, the church itself. All begin with thankfulness. Thanking the people. Thanking God for their prayer life and their devotion and their commitment. And of course, it was written very often against the context of real live persecution. Nobody's going to come here today and drag you out of this building and take you in front of the lions. But this is the reality of what happened as Paul was writing. It was a dangerous thing to be a Christian. And he thanks God for them. So first of all, thank you for being here today. And thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for those who have sustained and been part of this ministry for decades and have kept the work going. You know, the church is fantastically imperfect, like me. The church is fantastically imperfect. But it is completely vital. Get that? So if you ever get disillusioned and think to myself, look at the mess the church is in. True, it's vulnerable, it's human, it's full of sin. But nevertheless, it's absolutely vital. So thank you. I've been asked to look after a new vicar who's coming to Harrow as his mentor over the next year. And he's a new priest of St. Mary's Harrow on the Hill. He came here yesterday, a very well-known historical church. It's been there for almost 1,000 years, St. Mary's. And he came to our barbecue that we had here yesterday. And I was thinking, you know, my little bit of advice may be for the first 6 months, do very little, but just say thank you to people. And affirm them for what they've doing and what they've done. So I want to say thank you to you for those people who keep the ministry going, for wonderful people like Alan, who is faithful here, who turns up week by week. I can wonderfully rely on him. He will be here. For those people who sustain the youth ministry and the Sunday school. For those people who do the rotas. For those people who come and pray and read the scripture, for those people who look out for one another and are on the phone and caring. Pray today for Wendy Godwin, who's in hospital. So we pray for her because we're a community that cares and loves. Fantastically imperfect, but vital. Yesterday we had all these vicars here from the diocese, from the area, Harrow Deanery. And we wanted to bless them. So we made sure everything was done well. We had two wonderful guys from our fellowship here, Alan and Mark, doing the barbecue. We struggled to get the thing going because of the technology, but we did it in the end, and the food was fantastic. And we had wonderful drinks and celebration. And we blessed the fact that we've got terrific facilities here. And some of them were overwhelmed, the space that we've got, and now we're able to use it. But we wanted to bless them because we wanted to say that we value what they do. To say thank you. Some years ago when I was in industry, big pharma, my last sort of year in business, we had the most successful team in the country. And we won lots of awards after awards. Lots of accolades came our way. And I began to think to myself, well, I've hardly done anything. Why have we been so successful this last year? Why have we done so incredibly well? And I realized that one of the reasons was because I decided at the beginning of that particular financial year not to point out anything to any of my staff that concerned me particularly. But all I would do was reinforce constantly all that was good and thank them and thank them and thank them. And you know, as I did that, they blossomed and flourished. And at the end of it, our results were outstanding, and we won this great accolade in the company of being the team of the year, a manager of the year, and all this sort of thing. But it's simply because all we did was we thanked each other and we reinforced everything that was good. So maybe at the beginning of another season here, perhaps we need to think about our own hearts and where we are today. Do we come from a place of complaint or a place of thankfulness and gratitude? This is a communion service called a Eucharist. We are a community, hopefully, that lifts up its heart and thanks God. And in that, there is our redemption and our healing. So how is your heart today? You see, the reason that Jesus is so harsh in what he says ultimately, do not love, the creator, do not love the creature and forget the creator. You want to follow me? If you want to follow me, first of all, he is saying to those who are gathered, the crowds, he says, do not love the creature and forget the creator, because it's the creator ultimately that matters. I take a warning about the crowds. It says the multitudes were traveling with him and following him. Beware of the crowd. A lot of strength can disguise an awful lot of weakness. Barbara and I used to be part of a church that grew fantastically. When we left, there was about 10,000 people as part of the fellowship. But I can tell you, despite the fact that outwardly it looked enormously successful, it was riddled with all sorts of imperfections. And what matters most of all is not the size of the crowd, but the people's response to God and whether what you see there can be trusted. And people didn't realize that they were following Jesus. They traveled with him because they were expecting what was going to happen and what he was about. They didn't realize there was a huge cost to following him. And he says to them, you're going to follow me, it could cost you everything. Do not love the creature and forget ultimately that there is a creator. By the way, Jesus gave some very hard sayings. Hate mother, hate child, hate brother, hate sister, hate life. And sometimes it's important that we just stay with the questions that we have around these hard sayings. Beware of any church that gives easy answers. Most of you who have had some experience of life will know that life is not full of any easy answers. And that if you really want to get on and grow, particularly in the Christian faith, you have to live constantly with the questions. So this is a church, a place where we gather, where we embrace deep questions and we live with them, and we're reluctant to give easy answers. Why did he say that? Sometimes all we can do is say that we don't know. We have the questions. And God has the answers. And maybe one day he will give us the answers. A little bit of advice for you today. You know, I wonder perhaps if you're struggling like many people at the moment. Maybe you've been concerned about the news that we've heard last week just about what's happening in government and how we resolve the problems that we've got. Problem of immigration, the things, the inequalities in our countries, the things that are facing us at the moment, and it seems to be pointed in all sorts of directions and people are looking for solutions. Maybe there are personal things that you're grappling with today. Well, let me tell you, one of the best places to start is first of all to orientate your heart and life fully to who God is. So let me tell you, do you at home regularly just listen, for example, to worship music? Whatever is your flavor, doesn't matter. What matters is, do you engage in worship before God so that you encounter the living God, for example, in music and worship? Let me give an example. Somebody I know who was dying with terminal cancer, Guy's Hospital. He had colon cancer and his days were numbered. He was an eminent, wonderful Christian leader. As he came to the end of his days, many people, by the way, had gone and prayed with him. People had come from all over the world to pray for him because this person was regarded as special. Well, he was special. He was an outstanding Bible teacher, but he was dying. Towards the end of his days, he remained radiant. Do you know why? Because by the side of his bed, this is the days, late 70s, he had a cassette player. And from morning to night, he would just listen to Christian worship music because it orientated his heart towards God. He wanted to connect with the Creator and not just the creature. And you know, in one sense, he was not cured, but he was healed. So what are you listening to at home? What are you listening to when you're in the car? What is governing your life? How are you renewing your mind? Are you really just like everybody else, messed up, screwed up, uncertain, fearful? Uncertain. Sometimes you don't even know whether you're coming to church. Let me encourage you to do this. First of all, to pray, but also listen at home to worship music, to songs that elevate your heart and voice, because they will orientate your mind to God. And in that is your healing. This person I know wasn't healed. Eventually he died. So he wasn't cured, but in one sense he was healed. What are you listening to? So if you've got a Spotify on your phone, listen to worship music. If you've got CDs at home of Christian songs, listen to worship music. Because the whole point of us being here is to bring our hearts and minds to the living God. I'll finish with this. In the history of the church, there have been those people who have said the answer is method. Organize your life in this sort of way. Do this, do that. Lots of books written on method. Other people have said, actually, no, what we need is magic. What we need is those things that surprise us and excite us and make life different. We need the things that will come from them all of a sudden. That's what we want. It will change us, a sort of magic. A lot of Christians, without realizing it, are into magic. But actually, what really heals us and restores us is not method or magic. It's relationship. It's knowing Him. It's setting our hearts and minds on Him. It's being alive to Him. It's giving everything that you are and every time and every place, wherever that might be, to Him. It's relationship. Jesus said, I have called you by name. So what are you listening to? This can be your restoration and your healing because it orientates your heart towards the living God. It heals us. So a new season. If you'd like to join us on Thursday evening, we're going to have a prayer meeting in the vicarage at 7:30 for this next term. We want to move on with God. We want to be expectant. We want to see God work here. We want to see these church pews full. We want to sense a new vitality and a new direction. Join Barbara and I if you can, 7:30 Thursday evening, so we can orientate our hearts and minds in the right direction. Amen.